That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center after a 4-2 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. If you want to call or text 312-981-7200, we got a full postgame show tonight going up to 10:30. This is a tough loss for the Blackhawks coming off the home opening win against the San Jose Sharks on Thursday, where they were basically in control for all three periods. I was, you know, watching this game. Buffalo had their chances, and they were, I don't want to say they were in the driver's seat, but they scored those. They had an early chance by Thompson when he hit the post, and then they got two early goals, and they kind of went ahead early. We're going to bring in Troy Murray now to give this game a recap. A lot of good things, like you were saying to John just now, as you and John were talking about, but it was the only column that matters, the goal total, is where the Blackhawks fell short.
Well, you know, you look at, and it happens so often, that the team that is chasing the score ends up with the most shots in the game because, you know, they're chasing it, so they're pushing a little bit. And, unfortunately, the Blackhawks started to trail this game in the first period, and midway through, they're down 2-0. Second one was a lucky break off the skate of Kaiser. But, you know, throw the puck to the net. I mean, we talk about it so often, and there's no use throwing the puck kind of mid-range. Put it to the feet where the goaltender has to make a play on it, or it does their skates, their sticks, and all that kind of stuff. And that's how Buffalo got their second goal. And the Hawks, you know, they scrambled back. They worked hard. They tied the game up. And then Buffalo scored right at the end of the second period. That was a little bit of a tough one, and really certainly changed the complexion going into the third period. You're feeling pretty good about, you know, tying the score up, and then all of a sudden a late one gives you a little bit of negativity inside the room. But I thought the Blackhawks, you know, did a lot of good things in this game overall, but Buffalo did what they needed to do in the defensive zone. They clogged up the middle of the ice as much as possible. Not a lot of free shots from the Blackhawks, even though they got some pucks through. And you know, their goaltender Luukkonen was solid in net tonight. Big kid, 6'5", 225 pounds. He got the job done.
Even on the first Buffalo goal, Tage Thompson, it looked like Alex Vlasic actually poked the puck away from Peterka, and it went to Thompson quicker than maybe Arvid Soderblom was expecting, and so maybe that kind of threw him off a little bit. I didn't think Arvid was particularly, I think it was fine, but like you mentioned during the broadcast, it's making that one extra save that can kind of keep the Blackhawks in it.
The first one's an excellent shot. Like if Connor Bedard comes down and he takes that shot, we're all over Connor Bedard. Oh, what a shot. Well, you know, what a great...
True.
You know, so give Thompson. He's a great shooter. And, you know, he went from 38 goals up to 47 goals, and then last year went down to 29. So he's got to pick up his production again. And, you know, I don't know if he'll get to 47 like he did a couple years ago, but he can shoot the puck. So give him full marks on that play. The second one was real lucky. So you can't really fault them, and the go-ahead goal, the game-winning goal at the tail end of the second period, it kind of just a broken play that ended up bouncing over to a wide-open Sabre player on the backside. He should have been covered because there was nobody there, so I didn't really see how it developed there. But, you know, I thought he was solid. You can't fault him what happened in the game, but you would like him to find a way to make one of those saves, but they weren't his fault.
Yeah. I think the unfortunate part about the result is you want to see the Blackhawks start to stack wins or stack strong performances together. So coming off the road trip where they had that key Edmonton win, they fell short a little bit in Calgary, even though they played fine. Then they have the big win against San Jose, and Buffalo was coming in here with, you know, a 1-4-1 record. They hadn't scored a power play goal all season. They still haven't scored a power play goal. One of two teams that have. So they're trying to find their way under new head coach Lindy Ruff. They haven't really found their rhythm yet. So it would have been nice to see the Blackhawks kind of assert themselves early, get a win in this game, and start to feel like, okay, we're stacking some good performances in a row, and maybe that kind of catapults them into the rest of the season.
Yeah, and if you look at it, the first two games here on home ice, San Jose and Buffalo, you know, if you want to take that next step, these are games you have to win. And again, that's not being disrespectful to Buffalo, but you know, you don't have the Florida Panthers coming in here. You know, it's not some of the elite teams that they've played here the first two games at the United Center. So you would hope that you would get better results after beating San Jose and then coming into this one to string a couple together. Vancouver, excellent season last year. They're off to a little bit of a slow start this year at 500, but at the same time, they're a very dangerous team. So the opponents sometimes are going to be a little bit lesser. Sometimes they're going to be a little bit higher as far as how good they are. And this was an opportunity for the Blackhawks, though, to string those two games together and then go into that game against Vancouver feeling really good about the way they're playing.
Well, let's get to some positives. You have a crystal ball over there for your Craig Smith prediction. Not one, but two goals tonight in your Who's Going to Deliver segment.
Well, yeah. I mean,
a dead clock is right twice
a
day.
Well, you know, no. I, you know, we get game notes and stuff like that, and I wouldn't, there's no way I would know that, you know, Smith has had the success that he's had against Buffalo without going through in some of the notes. So I kind of picked that out and said that was kind of noticeable of his numbers compared to everybody else playing against Buffalo. So, you know, maybe it's just one of those teams that he has a lot of confidence when he's playing. You know, he was a real strong. I thought that whole line was really good, and Lucas Reichel talked about it. I think they were even in this game because they were on for a couple as well, and I like the fact that that's kind of, you know, Lucas Reichel was focusing on the fact that that line did get scored on twice. They did score, which is the positive side of it, but you know, I like the fact that he's recognizing that they still need to be better in some areas in the defensive zone and not get scored on. But I thought Reiko was good. I thought Craig Smith had a lot of jump in his game. You know, I'd like, you know, pick a guy that didn't play well in this game. I don't know if there is one. I mean, they worked hard. The energy was there. They skated. They just didn't get maybe some puck luck, and their Buffalo's goaltender was good, and you only had one power play opportunity, and you've been able to kind of use that as an uplifting part of the game. And when you only have one opportunity, and that was in the first period, you don't really have a chance to, you know, they didn't get that chance when they were down by one goal. And John talked about it. I thought there was quite a few missed calls in the game that Buffalo could have got some penalties handed out to them, where the Blackhawks did have, you know, four minor penalties in this game, or four power plays for Buffalo. So didn't quite equal out the way that you would hope that it would.
I thought it would equal out, because that's weird that there was only one power play for the Blackhawks. They only had, it was one or two in Calgary. Like they have these weird, you know, they did have six against San Jose, or seven against San Jose. One was 5 seconds. So it did, maybe, you know, it evens out. But yeah, interesting to see. You know, you mentioned that line. Really the only quote-unquote quiet line was the top line, Bedard, Foligno, Teravainen, but it's the line that I'm least concerned about, because they've been awesome together, and they did generate some chances, but the other three lines, it felt like they were more noticeable in this one.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think, it, as I said, it was kind of a quiet night for Connor, only a couple shots on goal, and really didn't have that good look that that normally he gets during a game. Just didn't have it. I thought Buffalo's focus coming into this game probably is obviously looking at Connor Bedard and shutting him down as much as possible. And they've got some good young defensemen that skate well, and they've got some size back there. So they did a good job of kind of taking away the strengths of Connor Bedard in this game, not allowing him to get that shot. You know, nothing's going to be perfect. And, you know, for the Blackhawks, they just have to find a way to win some of these games. And Nick Foligno talks about it. Seth Jones talked about it. You know, we're not in the business to, hey, we played well and we worked hard. They want results. And so it's going to be frustrating for them that they didn't get the results in this game.
We mentioned that fourth line. Let's get to Reichel specifically. We were talking during the intermission. You thought the second period was probably Reichel's, one of his best periods in a very long time, even dating back to last year. That was one where I know he had two primary assists, but he generated quite a few chances too, missing but the goaltender denied him at the doorstep on a couple of them. Nice to see him pick up not just points, but to see him actually skating with confidence and generating chances and not just kind of lucking into some assists.
You know what? I'm looking at the final stat sheet here, and it's kind of interesting. And I would have guessed it was more because I thought that he was more noticeable. But he played under 8 minutes in this game. He had two assists. He had four shots on goal. And that was the second most. There was two guys. Seth Jones had five. And Craig Smith had five shots on goal. And he played 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And he had four hits in the game. You know, for a line that scored both of the Blackhawks' goals in that few minutes, maybe you'd like to see them get a little bit more ice time than what they did. I'm kind of surprised when I'm looking at some of the final stats here. That
I'm looking at the shift lengths. They only logged, well, Reichel specifically, only logged three shifts in the first period. So I wonder if that was where, you know, it was 34 seconds his first one, 28, then 28, and so he got five in the third, and he had five in the second. So, I mean, it started even out, I guess, a little bit. They had a little bit more longer shifts too, but maybe the first period is where.
Yeah, and you know, if you're the fourth line, sometimes you kind of when there's TV timeouts, and whether the faceoff is in the defensive zone or offensive zone. If in the offensive zone, Bedard's line or Kurashev's line usually gets out there. Tage Thompson, obviously a big factor for Buffalo, and Jason Dickinson was going head-to-head against him. So, you know, Buffalo's trying to get him out as much as possible, so that takes away some ice time in different areas. But, you know, especially in the second period, you know, maybe get those guys out early on, roll them in here in the third period, because it seemed like they had some good mojo offensively.
The Hawks only had one power play, but they almost scored on it. Tyler Bertuzzi, the puck was right there, and it just hopped over his stick. If he scores there, it makes it a 2-1 game, so it doesn't really change the complexion because the Blackhawks did end up tying it. But maybe it just changes the momentum a little bit earlier, and then the Blackhawks can kind of assert themselves earlier than they did, you know, by scoring later in the second.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I mean, you want to get the game as close as you can, as quick as you can, and rather than chasing it. And when you're chasing the score, it really does take a lot of energy because you have to go in hard on the forecheck. You're trying to create a turnover there. You know, if you're in the lead, if their forecheck's not there, maybe you back off a little bit more. So there's a lot of factors come into it. And again, that's what, you know, you end up 37-22. But, you know, Buffalo, with only five shots in the third period, you know, they were in control of the score, and you know, they did what they needed to do. They had numbers coming back all the time. They didn't get caught in any odd man rushes, so give them credit for playing a pretty good road game in that regard. But definitely, if you can capitalize on that power play goal, Bertuzzi gets that, and it just rolled over the stick. The whole corner of the net was wide open for him there, so just kind of a tough break. And you know, the Blackhawks didn't get a whole lot of puck luck in this game.
What'd you think of the Peyton Krebs hit on Filip Kurashev at the end?
I didn't think it was that bad when I kind of looked at it. They were both going for it. It didn't seem it was any kind of malicious attempt to hurt Kurashev there. But Kurashev got up, and you know, he wanted to go right back at him there. So he thought it was kind of maybe a dirty hit, a little bit from the side. But and Bertuzzi obviously thought the same thing. And I you know, you're looking at this and it's late in the game. You don't want to take an extra penalty there. So maybe you just kind of got to back off a little bit. But at the same time, I like the fact that the guys are willing to stick up for one another.
I'm wondering if Kurashev didn't like that he was reaching for the puck. So I don't know if he got around to actually touching the puck. So I don't know if he was thinking that it was going to be interference or something like that. But I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because it wasn't like it was one of those plays where he's waiting for the pass and he's not like skating with his head down. So maybe Peyton Krebs is trying to time it, and then, you know, Kurashev never actually touches the pocket. So I don't know. Could be. What do you think?
I don't know.
Staring at me like,
no,
you know, on the spot.
But you know, you know, a lot of things I remember and I see in real time.
I'm gonna go pull it up, the video. I tweeted it.
Well, there you go. And then get another better look at it, because I didn't really get a second or third look at it to see exactly what happened. So,
okay, he did. He did touch it, but he didn't get control of it. So the puck like barely touched his stick, and then Peyton Krebs ended up. So anyway,
yeah, it's like Kurashev. Just by looking at that, I don't think it's a
yeah.
it's a bad play. It's a good clean hit. There was no contact to the head or anything like that. Just a solid hit in the neutral zone.
Yeah, I think it's a clean hit. It's one of those things that Kurashev probably just didn't like, that it was open ice. And I mean, credit to Bertuzzi for stepping in. It's one of those things.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, and especially at this time of the game. I mean, do you take a number and wait for the next time you play? You just say something, but you know, maybe you got to hold your discipline there because you're down by a goal, and you know, you don't want to jump in. As soon as it happened, you kind of knew that Bertuzzi was going to get the extra penalty in the whole scheme of things, because he went right after him. So, you know, you'd maybe just like him to not do that in that situation because you're down by a goal. But again, you know, you like the fact that the players are willing to stick up for one another.
Sure. It was good to have you back. We got all the ad reads in, right?
Yeah.
John took off his headphones. I said it was good to have Troy back. We got all the ad reads in. We went to the post game show on time.
Well, I thought he was listening to the post game show. He's listening to
He did have his headphones in.
I know, but he's got his ear things in. He's listening. He's got some documentary or something going on.
I'm right here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you're not right here.
There's the other earbuds in.
Well,
go back wherever you were. Sunny where you were?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of nice. Time to turn so I don't burn, right? Sunblock 9000.
Well, good to be back. I mean, it was tough for me the other night to not be here. I did all 82 games last year, and unfortunately just wasn't going to work out a couple nights ago. But I'm back. I'll be back and be here Tuesday.
This was our first official game together, and you played around with me, even though you're not going to you're not going to admit it, but you were the one messing with my volume.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. And I didn't see anybody because I was sitting here the whole time. I never leave the booth.
Yeah.
John was complaining something about his glasses. I'm
also convinced that you somehow made sure that my mic was on while I sneezed because I thought it was off. You know, that's a rookie mistake too.
I know nothing.
All right, Troy. We'll talk. When's the next game? Tuesday?
Tuesday
night.
Tuesday.
All right. Let's take a break. We're waiting on some sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room. The postgame show rolls on after this. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Back to Taylor Hall. He'll skate it up the right wing to center ice. Tried to bat it past Cousins. Could not. McLeod took it away into the Hawk zone. Shoots and scores into an empty net. And the Sabres take a 4-2 lead with 25 seconds left in period number three.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here. The Blackhawks fall to the Sabres 4-2, their first home loss of the season. Again, didn't think they played particularly horrible. I think you look at the raw numbers, the shots on goal, the scoring chances, it was pretty much in favor of the Blackhawks. It was Buffalo got out ahead, though, 2-0 in the first period, and then the Hawks ended up kind of chasing the game after that. They did even up the score to make it 2-2, where it was, you know, it was a game, but then, you know, I think they made a couple penalties or two, and it, you know, that kind of derailed the Hawks. I think we have a caller on the line, so let's go to the phone lines. Carrie, you're on the Blackhawks postgame show. How's it going?
Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. First and foremost, I just want to say I think you're doing a great job with the postgame taking over for Joe, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on head coach Luke Richardson. It seems like there's been a theme this year where the Hawks come out flat in the first, and I think it's a direct reflection of the coaching staff. And then just looking at the box score, it looks like you have a fourth line who put in two goals tonight, and that range or that line had time on ice ranging for 8:21 to 9:12. Why not ride the hot hand?
Yeah, first off, thank you so much for the kind words. Appreciate that. I don't think the starts have been as poor this year as they were last year. I think that Utah game definitely felt discombobulated. Like the first 20 minutes, it felt a little concerning at the time, but I feel like the starts have for the most part been fine since then. I do agree with you there about the fourth line. When Troy was mentioning the time on ice that the fourth line got tonight, I was actually a little surprised that it was in the eight minute range. Like Reichel only had 7:55. I thought he might have been closer to 10, 11, 12. So I do agree. Maybe I have to think back. I'm trying to think if there were any penalties that kind of interrupted the flow of the game. Typically what Luke likes to do, and you'll see this across the league too, after a after some TV timeouts, like they'll go with the top line again and kind of get the top lines fresh. But yeah, maybe in the third period the Hawks should have leaned a little bit more heavily on the fourth line. As far as Luke Richardson, I will say the starts are definitely reflective of the coaching staff when it comes to whether the team is prepared or not. And I think if that is a consistent theme this season, we can have more of a conversation. But I feel like I haven't seen that as much through six games to feel a little bit concerned about that. So it's something to keep an eye on for sure. Maybe last season there's a little kind of residue from that. But and I also will say this, because I did get questions about Luke Richardson. It was after the Utah game. And the Blackhawks had an every shift episode where it was the season one or the season three episode one. And at the very end of the episode, you can hear associate GM Norm MacIver. They're in the Blackhawks coaching room and they're looking at a whiteboard with the lineup. And Norm MacIver is looking at the whiteboard, you know, projecting the opening night lineup together, and he's like, "We scored 178 goals last season. We need a lot more this year. And where are we going to get it from?" So, on some level, while the Blackhawks roster definitely looks improved from last year, I'm not sure it's as good as some of the other teams in the league, even that are like non-playoff teams. Like, I still think the Blackhawks have another step to take when it comes to filling out the roster. And so in some ways, I know Luke Richardson is going to be evaluated more critically this year, but even when you look at the raw, you know, Taylor Hall was playing on the third line in Boston. Nick Foligno was playing in more of a bottom six role when he was in Toronto and Boston. Tyler Bertuzzi found himself bouncing around the second, third line, even fourth line. So a lot of these guys are, Teuvo Teravainen was more of a second line guy in Carolina, maybe even third sometimes, rather than a first line. So I do want to be a little bit fair to Luke that they still might not have as strong of a personnel as maybe the Blackhawks hope in the next couple years. It just seems such an improved roster from last year, because I was even thinking about some of the guys, free agency, Tyler Johnson, Mackenzie Entwistle, Reese Johnson. There were quite a few players, Colin Blackwell, Taylor Radish. A lot of these players took a while to sign on free agency, and those guys were playing big minutes for the Blackhawks last year. And so I think it showed you what the rest of the league kind of thought about those players. So I think, you know, want to put it in perspective as well. But I really appreciate the call and appreciate your kind words. Let's go to Craig Smith. I believe he talked to the media. He had two goals in this one. He was, again, like we mentioned, he was one of the best lines of the night. Let's hear what he had to say.
I thought first, you know, I thought we skated well. I thought once we got a little bit more physical and got our nose over pucks, you know, we were able to create some turnovers and get some good looks off of that.
How would you assess the team game overall?
Yeah, it's good. Obviously, you know, we're going to keep moving in the right direction here, keep making corrections. Obviously, there was some tonight. We could look back and, you know, a few X's and O's stuff that, you know, resulted in a goal, but continue to move forward and build our game, you know, as best we can.
Do you have a sense of what this team is after six games? I mean, every game has been competitive. Do you have a sense of what this team can be?
Yeah. There absolutely has to be no cheat in our game, that's for sure. You know, if we use our feet and everybody buys into the system, you know, we keep ourselves in games and give us a chance.
Brett said that he likes sitting next to you, talking to you. Are you saying things to encourage him? Because, you know, he's had the healthy scratches. He's had, you know, just kind of an up and down journey here with the Hawks. What are you saying to him to kind of keep him engaged?
I haven't said much, you know, just throughout the course of a game. I think you talk here and there and try to figure out each other so you can get the best out of each other for the night. But, you know, this is an opportunity league, so opportunities are small or big depending on who you are. And, you know, you got to make the best of them when you get in. You know, I think he did a great job tonight. You can see with his legs, he can definitely create. So it was, you know, it's nice to see him get rewarded.
That was Craig Smith. He scored two goals tonight. He also tied a game high with five shots on goal, four hits, one takeaway. And again, only had 8:46 of ice time, but he was impactful in the ice time that he did have. We have more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game. And Lucas Reichel and Luke Richardson also spoke to the media. That's coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Went around to the left circle. We'll fire. And Soderblom down with a butterfly save. We'll squeeze the puck and hold it. You get a little gathering in the goal crease. Wyatt Kaiser put one of the Sabres into the net with a little bit of a hit. And then we have all the boys gathering inside the paint of the crease. There's about, I don't know, about eight of them in there.
Tonight's Save of the Game is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen for the Sabres stopped 35 of 37 shots against Chicago. Arvid Soderblom, three goals against on 21 shots for the Blackhawks. Lucas Reichel had probably his best game in a long time for the Blackhawks, even though he only logged less than 8 minutes of ice time. He spoke with the media. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, I think our line was pretty good today. We were forechecking hard. We skated hard, and we got two goals, which is good. But at the same time, you know, we're disappointed because we didn't win, and at the same time, we give up two goals, our line. So, that's, if you score, you gotta, you know, play defensively good too. I mean, first goal is a little bit lucky, but it's just frustrating, you know, scoring two goals and then we give up two.
It seemed like you were trying to give out some hits even up there. Is that something you've been focusing on?
Yeah, I think I want to be physical, and that gets me in the game too, especially early in the game. If you hit guys and like I said, it gets me in the game and play with emotion, and that's what I've been working on too.
How difficult is it when you're getting 3, 4, 5 shifts a period to kind of get into any kind of rhythm?
Yeah, mentally it's definitely tough, but you know, we talk a lot. We talk about every shift with Dubs and Smitty, and that keeps you in the game. We try to talk a lot, and even on the ice, if another line is on the ice, we yell, and that keeps us in the game too. So
you think that Smith is saying in particular that's helping in your game, or some connection you have?
It's been good. We were sitting next room in fifth third and here in the United Center. And, you know, we joke around before practice, after practice. I like, you know, talking to him. And, today it showed that we created some chemistry together, and we want to keep that up.
The fourth line, Lucas Reichel, Craig Smith, Andreas Athanasiou, that was probably one of the better lines for the Blackhawks tonight, especially in the second period. I know they were on the ice for two goals against as well, but they seemed like they popped a little bit more offensively. And for Reichel to get some confidence going, you just heard from him, that's really nice for, you know, to hear as well, and to kind of see, because he was a healthy scratch for the first four games of the season. Luke Richardson also spoke to the media. Let's hear what he had to say about this game.
I thought the first period we just didn't skate and match the intensity. So, kind of like that first period of the year, you know, we just didn't play well at all. So that cost us the game tonight. I thought we played really hard and excellent. We got a tough bounce on the third goal in the second period to climb back in it, but good penalty killing. That first period stings because it takes a lot of the wasted energy out of us. It takes a lot to get it going halfway through the game, and they did a good job of that, but it, obviously it cost us in the end.
What have you learned about this team and what it might be able to do through six games so far?
I think watching the second period, we can accomplish a lot, but, you just have to play three periods against every team in this league. And I think, you know, we have enough veteran leadership in there to know that. I know it's early in the season, but, definitely learned from the first game and tonight that we could have better fates if we had a complete 60 minutes, not 40.
Do you take solace? And I mean, all six games have been, you know, very competitive, kind of almost down to the wire.
Yeah, and I think, it should be. Like, you know, there's, in 82 games, there might be a game that you just don't have it for whatever reason, maybe some legs, 3 and 4 nights in travel. You know, you have to account for something that's going to go against you. But tonight, I think it was ourselves against us. And I don't know if the first night was like tonight. It was a little different. But I think now that we're starting to get used to each other and know each other, we're starting to get a little bit of continuity in the power play and the penalty killing and certain areas of our game. Unfortunately, we've been in the 6-on-5 too many times. We'd like to get into the 5-on-6 side of things and work on that a little more. But, you know, I find that they have a good communication level between them, and that probably comes from experience in the dressing room. And that's going to help, I think, in situations like this that we can learn from. And, you know, we still have 2 games on this homestand, and I'd like to see us be driven like we were in the second period to win those 2 games. And that's how, that has to be 120 minutes plus to do that.
What did you make of Reichel's game tonight?
Yeah, I like the whole line. I know they didn't get out there much in the first period. It seemed to be when they were up, it was power play or penalty kill. But I thought they used their speed. They forechecked well in the second period and moved the puck very strongly forward and advanced it quickly. And so they played together as a line. I think tonight, some of the other lines, I think, especially early in the game, we were too far away from each other. We weren't slashing and supporting, which we've been doing so well when we have success. So I thought they did it well, and they got us going in that second period.
TJ Brody kind of had a tough night. How would you assess
him? Yeah, no, he had some good breakouts, with his calmness and experience, tight situations. But I think the third goal, he just missed a clear, and unfortunately we didn't get it out, and it was in our net. But it's a team game, and, you know, I thought, I thought the first period really cost us that game.
Kaiser, same thing. Unfortunate penalty.
Bad, tough bounce, but, you know, we're trying to ask the players to block shots when they can. Unfortunately, it was probably going wide off his skate, but it hit the other guy's skate. So it was like, it looked like a pinball machine, you know, from the 70s. So I think, you know, I mean, Kai's, he played hard tonight. I thought he was physical. You know, he's a good skater. I don't think anybody skated around him at all tonight. So, you know, I mean, other than the tough bounce off his skate, he's trying to do the right thing. So can't complain about that.
What did you want to see differently coverage-wise on that Tage Thompson goal?
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
I think it was we had coverage in the neutral zone, and unfortunately he got by us. And I think our back-checking forwards were looking a little bit puck-focused, and he got by us. And then you try and catch up, you can't. It's either a hooking call or an offensive chance, and it was an offensive chance, unfortunately. It turned into a 3-on-2. And our forwards can't let that happen. They have to have that coverage for our D. So, you know, the most dangerous guy in the ice shooting from the middle, it's a tough one for Sody. So that, you know, that was indicative of our first period. We weren't skating. We weren't engaged in the battles on the inside.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson sharing his thoughts on the game. Like what he said there, it was, quote, it was ourselves against us. It didn't feel like Buffalo was the one that beat the Blackhawks. It felt like you can look at the mistakes that Chicago made tonight and think, okay, that was correctable, or even the fluky goal that he mentioned, the pinball machine from the 70s off of Kaiser, off of another leg and in. So there were definitely areas that you can kind of look at for the Blackhawks and you know, think if they play this game again, you know, like they play this game 10 times, it feels like the Blackhawks probably win 6 of 7. It's 6 or 7. It's just getting those starts. I know we mentioned it. I didn't mind the overall start in the first period. Like, the numbers were fine, but it was more so just not getting the first goal and then them getting the second goal. All right, we got one more break to get to. Then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks post game show after this on 720 WGN.
Garland into the corner, spins off a check of Drysdale, back to Hronek at the line. Dumps it behind the net. Garland centering, pass into the slot. Pettersson to the back door. Hoglander scores. What a pass by Elias Pettersson as the Canucks forecheck draws dividends. And it's Niels Hoglander who's the beneficiary. His second of the year makes it 1-0 Canucks.
That is Niels Hoglander scoring the opening goal of the game for the Vancouver Canucks tonight in Philadelphia. The Canucks shut out Philly 3-0. And that's tonight's Next Game Preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Vancouver is an interesting team. They were kind of a breakout team last year and really gave Edmonton a run for their money. The problem is they didn't have the goaltending in the playoffs because Thatcher Demko suffered a knee injury in he played in game one. I'm sorry, 2 years ago they gave Edmonton, and then last year they played against Nashville, and it was game one of the playoffs since Thatcher Demko last played, and he came into training camp this year still kind of the knee aggravated, and so he's kind of the wild card for the Vancouver Canucks this season. They really have to get him 100% healthy and not kind of force him to come back a little early. And so not sure if the Canucks can make a deep playoff run really without him. In the meantime, the Canucks did sign former Blackhawks goaltender Kevin Lankinen to a deal. I think it was like right before the regular season started to kind of be a 1A, 1B kind of option for the Canucks while they wait for Demko to get healthy. And Lankinen's been terrific. He's 2-0-1, a 1.89 goals against average with a .953 save percentage and one shutout. So he's been great for the Canucks. I'm just not sure. It's going to be interesting to see how Vancouver kind of plays out this next month or two, and then kind of hopefully they can get some clarity on Demko. But they started the season 0-1-2. They picked up their first win of the season on Thursday, which was a 3-2 overtime win over the defending champion Florida Panthers. And then they got a win tonight in Philadelphia. So it looks like they're slowly getting back on track. And the Blackhawks are going to want to get get back on track as well when they play Vancouver on Tuesday. So it should be a good matchup between these two teams next time they play at the United Center on Tuesday. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our on-site reporter Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Michael DeLeonardis at the station. They were led by our captains, the engineers, Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our colonel at the station, Brett Jackson. And, of course, the great John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from the United Center. I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 4-2 Blackhawks loss to the Buffalo Sabres. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night from the United Center.